There isn't a particular title to this evening's service. This evening is primarily going to be a time to seek God's face. On a day that has been dedicated to be, has been called upon to be a national day of prayer by the president, we will take advantage of that and do just that. Seek and pray with the rest of the nation. And when I heard about the news, I was very excited because I first mentioned it on Wednesday evening. And I said, how awesome would that be? And how cool would that be? And it happened. I was having a brief conversation with my wife this afternoon. And one of her friends had mentioned that it's calculated that thus far today, somewhere along 2.3 million people are all praying at once as a result of just one call which the president made. He made the call to dedicate today, March 15th, to be a national day of prayer. The Shavuos? The Shavuos, 2.3 million. And it was also mentioned that this is a conservative number. So it could be more. And how great is that? How great of a testimony would this be when the world sees, when the United States sees the melting pot, when the world sees that the God of heaven, the only true God, has brought us out of this pandemic. How much of a witness would that be for the Muslims of the United States? Huh? There's a large amount of Muslims, actually worldwide, including here in the United States. They'll see. They'll know. What are they going to say now? And everybody else in between. You know, the Lord knows what He's doing. The Lord knows what He's doing. He knows it perfectly. But anyways, we praise the Lord, and this evening will be dedicated for just that. It'll be dedicated for prayer. We want to pray. And we might, I don't know how long this is going to go for. Chances are we could close the traditional time, but I want to dedicate this evening to just talk with the Lord. You know. But I do want to read a small passage in the Bible. I'm going to read from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. And I was going to start somewhere, maybe a third into the chapter, but I just got a tidbit of information to begin from the beginning. So we're going to start in verse 1. So, once again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'm going to cover verse 1. You ready, brother? Okay, so verse 1 says, when Solomon had finished praying, interesting how this chapter starts, right? And then a series of things happen. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Awesome scenery right there. Just let your imagination run wild. But then listen to what it says next. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when I stop and I read this particular, especially these two opening verses of the seventh chapter of the Second Chronicles, my imagination just takes over. How was the glory of God? Was it in the form of a smoke? Was it in the form of a white puff? A cloud? Did it glitter? I don't know. Is it that when you step foot in the place, did you get weak? As oftentimes you see people fall as a result of the glory of God. They're touched by the glory of God. We don't know, but it says that the priest could not come inside because of it. How about that? And it all started with sacrifices and prayer. Let's move on. Verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And now, I stopped and I thought about this, and it's funny how you see something spectacular happen. Something what's considered to be supernatural. What is supernatural? Fire just appeared out of thin air from above and came down. For one, that is supernatural in so many ways. Why? Because fire goes up. If you got a fire burning right now on the ground, it's shooting up. But this time, fire is coming down, almost like a torch. It's being forced down. So that in itself is supernatural. And they see all these things, and the first thing that comes to their mind, every single one of them in one accord, is, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." How about that? Act of worship. And this is why I say in the beginning, let us not forget to worship the Lord in hard times, in times of difficulties, in times of stress. This is what we should always do. Have a heart of worship. Now, verse 4. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priest attended to their services, and the Levites also with the instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praises by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. Therefore Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, and the fat. At that time, Solomon kept feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. And on the 8th day, they held a sacred assembly, for they observed the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. On the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away to their tent, which was July 23rd. On July 23rd, he sent them away, right? And then it says, "Joyful and glad of heart for the good that the Lord had done for David, for Solomon, and for his people Israel." Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came unto his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house. So all of this is a great read. It's encouraging in so many levels. You see the power of the Lord manifesting. You see the reaction of the people in what they say. You see the end result of them worshiping God for 7 straight days. Now, I am expecting something great happening after today. I am. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is true. But imagine how great of a thing would happen, and potentially how this entire nation would turn and change if it was from today on to next Sunday. If everybody's going to stay home from work, if everyone is prohibited to attend college, if everybody is prohibited from doing their daily errands. I just heard this evening that New Jersey has a 10 o'clock curfew. Yep. They got to be in the house at 10 p.m. and they can't come out till 5 a.m. unless if it's work related. That's the instructions. Because they were hit, I think they were hit first on the East Coast. Maybe, yeah? And New York also. So, imagine for the next 7 days, we don't have anything to bother us. We don't have any excuses. It's not like you laid off. You're just taking an absence of leave, right? And search the Lord and seek His face. How many wondrous things would happen in our nation. Just imagine. And this is where I was going to start this evening in verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. The Lord is hearing. The Lord is listening. I mentioned this morning, take advantage of the opportunity. We're all coming in one accord to pray. What makes you think that the Lord is not paying attention? That He's not listening? That He's just sitting there? Are they going to pray? Are they going to seek my face? Will they humble themselves? When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Praise the Lord. I feel blessed. Absolutely blessed. Beyond what you can imagine. Beyond what you know. For me having the assurance that the Lord is in this place every time we come and gather here. I love that. I really, really do. And more so, it's very much assuring knowing that the Lord, according to His word, has promised to hear our prayer when we seek Him with all of our hearts. Just like how we're going to do this evening. After Solomon had finished the temple and his own place, the Lord appeared to him and gave him promises and also gave him warnings, which is what we just finished reading now. In the event that God would send drought, would send locust, or pestilence on the people. There's one thing, one recipe that they should follow. Only one. And it is my hope and it is my wish the entire nation will follow this rule. And that is, they should humble themselves. They should pray. They should seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. That's that. And the Bible says that then the Lord our God would forgive their sins, our sins, and restore us back to health and heal our land. And notice in verse 13, can you put up verse 13 there, Brother David? It says, when I shut up heaven, in the beginning of that, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, which is what we are experiencing right now. This is us right now, 2020. There is something in the land right now that is on a war path. When I shut up heaven, and although disaster may be seen, especially in this particular occasion, as something natural, like a disease, a germ, we must know that God is 100% in control. 100%. And this was pretty much the thesis of my sermon this morning. The Lord is in control. The Lord God is God. He has everything in His hands. Everything is under control. And then the very next verse it says, if my people, on verse 14, if my people who are called by the name, by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and get deliverance from wherever is going on right now and heal their land. Notice the condition of forgiveness and healing. Do you notice that? God requires more than just words. God requires a whole lot more than just what comes out of our mouths. It requires action. It requires activity. It requires us doing something. And simple words will not do. It requires actions. And verse 14 may very well be the golden text of this entire book, the book of Chronicles. Verse 14, though originally addressed to the chosen nation of Israel, it has rightly been applied to those nations which have a biblical heritage. And don't we have a biblical heritage? We were founded by the principles of fearing the Lord. It's stamped in our money, in our currency. In our money, our currency, we honor God, which says, in God we trust. Why should this ever change at all? And have us as a nation forgotten that we must trust God in everything? This verse doesn't just apply, or is applicable, I should say, to the nation of Israel, but to all of those who have a biblical heritage in the nation. And we are a prime example of that. And this applies to us 100%. It is the sure road to restoration and revival for all times. And if the conditions are met, the promises are sure, 100% to be sure of fulfillment. Guaranteed. No questions asked. Right there. So, I'm going to wrap this up here. Well, just a brief commentary that I ran across, I want to share with you. This great verse, the best known in all Chronicles, expresses as does no other in Scripture God's requirement for national blessing. Whether in Solomon's land, in Ezra's, or in our town, those who believe must forsake their sins, turn from the life that is centered in self, and yield to God's word and will. Then, and only then, will heaven send revival. I like that. So, I encourage you to pray, to pray for one another. I encourage you to not only just pray for yourself, but pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, and pray for the nation. Pray for the leaders of the nation in what they do. Praise the Lord that the president of this country has called for a national day of prayer. And may the Lord from heaven hear us and come to our rescue. I have no doubt that the Lord is 100% in control of every single thing. No doubt whatsoever. But I'm still going to do my part. I'm going to do what I have to do. And what the Bible instructs me to do is to humble myself, is to seek His face, is to pray and live a righteous life to the best of my abilities. So, may you be encouraged this evening. As time goes on, chances are the news and the social medias and all these avenues that have a strong influence in us in today's day and age, may you not be taken back by it. May you not fear. Don't walk in panic. By all means, in the beginning of service here, I heard a lot of talk about toilet paper. Well, stack up on toilet paper. Okay. But ultimately, don't go touching every single thing and thinking, I'm covered by the blood. Because we don't want to tempt God now, But let us be encouraged in knowing that the Lord Himself said, I have heard your prayer. And just as He hears ours. Amen. And speaking of prayer, co-pastor Sister Marcia will lead us into a corporate time of prayer at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord.